NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams is in the studio. He was a White House correspondent for The Washington Post during Ronald Reagan's first term. Hi, Juan. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Leah.
What do you see as Reagan's lasting political impact, his legacy?
Well, if you think of it in terms of world politics, Leanne, I think you'd have to start with the relationship that he had with Mikhail Gorbachev and the impact he had in ending, really, the Soviet Union as a concept. He predicted it, and then he went about doing it, accelerated the end of the Cold War. As a result, I think that when he is remembered, people will oftentimes, I think, go back to the speech he gave in which he was standing at the Brandenburg Gate and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down." I think people remember that and the fact that 10 months after he left office, that's what happened.
And domestically?
Well, on the domestic side, it's a different legacy. I mean, obviously, he was a man who remade the Republican Party in his image in terms of insisting on tax cuts, promised to build up the military. He built up record deficits, tripled the national debt. But this is a man who, you know, was the oldest president we've ever had. When he left office, he was 78 years old. But even so, what you've got to recall is that at home, he was someone who was eternally optimistic. And so covering him at the White House, I mean, I remember sometimes just being incredulous at the amount of smiling and the ease with which he dealt with people. He would often tell stories. Some people accused him of being president by anecdote because he didn't directly ever discuss policy. I remember Clark Clifford once called him an amiable dunce. But the consequence was that at home here in the United States, he was very popular. When he left office, he had, I think, the highest approval rating of any president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when, of course, Roosevelt died in office.
Elaborate a little bit on the mark that he left on the Republican Party.
Well, if you think about the Republican Party, just in terms of the 2000 campaign, John McCain versus George W. Bush, both of them campaigned as heirs to Ronald Reagan. They saw that as evidence that they truly had the credentials. And you got to remember, Reagan comes on the scene giving a very famous speech in 64 for Barry Goldwater, in which he says America has a choice to make. And then he goes on, really, and remakes the Republican Party by taking it away from the eastern moderate wing of the party, the Rockefellers, if you will, and making it into a party of the West and the South, more of a grassroots populist Republican Party with the emphasis on tax cutting. Republicans used to be people who were so concerned about making sure there was no debt and no deficit. And Reagan basically said, we can spend because, you know what, tax cuts are going to improve the economy. And he was optimistic about that and said, you know, eventually this will all trickle down and benefit the entire political spectrum of people, poor and as well as rich.
He was called a great communicator, not just because of his oratory, the way that he would deliver a speech, but he also, because of his background in film, he knew how to set the stage. I mean, he was a real master of the idea of political theater. There was symbolism. There was backdrops that he used effectively. Is that legacy still felt?
Without a doubt. You know, sometimes I think people forget even something like the Saturday morning presidential address is a Reagan, Michael Deaver, who was his communications director, invention. You stop and you think for a second about his use of language, Morning in America. Often you think about Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative. He called it Star Wars. There was this whole idea that there's a way to communicate, a better way. Some people say that they think of FDR as the president who was the best communicator over radio. But Reagan was the one who was the best communicator over TV. And he had this sense of communicating with the American people personally and not going through the press. Often had a very antagonistic relationship with the press. But, you know, it's hard to be antagonistic with a guy who seems so friendly and easygoing as Ronald Reagan.
Friendly, easygoing, known to make jokes even at his own expense, his one-liners.
Yeah.
How did he use that humor?
Well, he used it, I think, to deflect. I mean, deflect a lot of criticism, including from people who constantly thought that he was not up to the job. So he was the kind of person who would say, you know, hard work never killed anyone, but why take the chance? That's one thing that he said. When he was shot, if you'll recall, here in Washington by John Hinckley, he goes in to be operated on, and he, before he loses consciousness, says to the doctors, "I hope all of you are Republicans." Tip O'Neill, who was then the head of the Democrats on Capitol Hill, would constantly be coming over to the White House, and you would think that they were in for some antagonistic, acrimonious discussions. Instead, they'd be sitting there drinking, you know, two Irish guys telling stories. Just a wonderful ease with people across political lines. He was a pragmatist in a way that you don't see in Washington today, where we have such polarized politics. Reagan was the guy who was able to build relationships, to talk to people, to make them feel at home. I wrote a biography about former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, who really did not like Ronald Reagan. But the two of them, when they were together, again, swapping lies, drinking liquor, I mean, incredible ease with human beings. And I think this came out of his background as it's ironic, a union leader in Hollywood, able to relate to people. Of course, he started as a Democrat in his life. But that stayed with him throughout, that people just felt comfortable with Ronald Reagan.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. Thanks a lot, Juan.
You're welcome, Leah.